this morning from 1 Corinthians 15. Some water, I guess. It says, seems very loud. I don't know, but whatever. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Then verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, or the conclusion, or the end goal, the destination, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He, and that's God, who put all things under Him, is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then finally, in Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is our reading so far. Now we'll just ask the Lord for a blessing on his word. Our Father, we thank you for your holy word. Your word is truth. And Father, we pray that this morning we may receive a blessing from your word. And your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, we pray that your word may do its job on our conscience, our hearts, and our walk. And Father, we pray that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified. We pray for those in our midst here this morning who are not saved, who do not belong to the Lord Jesus, who are still in their sins. Father, we pray that they too may come to that moment in their lives where they will surrender to Jesus Christ and will accept him by faith and belong to him. Father, we ask you these things and we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, when you think about all the enemies in the world, I was reminded of a time when I was in Belgium, and I was in the area what is known to Canadians as Flanders Field, and in a town near a town called Ypres. Maybe some of you have been there. And this is a place where many World War I and World War II veterans are buried. When you're there are, as far as your eye can see, countless graves. It's very, very strange, very strange. And then you have this thing in your mind, you think, okay, here was some major battle. As a matter of fact, I was told there that that whole area of Belgium is the bloodiest area in all of Europe in history. And so I was thinking at that time, you know, there were the German graves, there were the Allied graves. And I thought by myself, you know, not only is Hitler and all the other fellows dead, but so is Churchill and all the other people on both sides. And I had this strong feeling coming over me, and I thought, the one who won here is death. Death. Well, that is the last enemy. We read about that here, the greatest enemy, the last enemy. And so this morning, I want to speak about three last things. The last enemy, we read about that in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. And then in verse 45, we read about the last Adam, which is Christ. And then in verse 52, we read about the last trumpet. And so this is my subject here this morning. And then we'll also look at the second death. What is the second death? And so, when the Lord Jesus came, and this is what we find here in the first 8 verses, the facts, the historical facts of the gospel. The gospel is not some kind of feelings. The gospel is based upon historical facts. It's not whatever you believe in your heart that's going to save you. The gospel is the truth. What is truth? Truth is the revelation of what is. Truth is the revelation of what is, whether you like it or not. And so we find here that Paul is very, of course, he addresses a problem here, which is not what I'm going into this morning, and that is that there were those among the Corinthians that denied that there is a resurrection. And Paul is logically going through this. He says, now listen, if you believe the gospel that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and you say there is no resurrection of the dead, then you have to know that Jesus then also didn't rise from the dead. That means that all you believe is all for nothing. You're still in your sins. It doesn't make sense. So he first lays out the facts of the gospel. And what are those facts? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That is, according to the Old Testament scriptures. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. His death was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms, as the Lord Jesus made clear to those disciples when he rose from the dead, that all these things had to happen, as our brother mentioned this morning. Ought not Christ to have died and to enter into his glory, Luke 24. The second thing is that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. It was all prophesied. And the fourth thing is that he was seen by many. He appeared unto witnesses. And Paul is very emphatic about these things. He says in verse 6, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. He's saying here, he was seen at one time. He had a number of appearances at one time. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once. And at the time he's writing this, he's saying most of them are still living. Go and ask them. So the gospel is based upon historical facts. I really felt that strongly when I was in Israel one time. And I thought, Jesus walked here. He was here. These things happened. And you could see the Bible come alive. The geography and all the places and so on. It came alive for me. Because it's based upon the Lord Jesus having walked the sands of time and having died and risen again. Now, why did the Lord Jesus die? He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. You see, if you go back to the book of Genesis, this is what we find. That God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat from that particular tree, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do that, you will surely die. As a matter of fact, the literal rendering, and some translations give it that way, it says, in the day that you eat of it, you will dying die. Dying, you will die. It's a bit of a strange way of talking English, but that is what it says. You will die spiritually. Now, they didn't. They died spiritually that day when they sinned in Genesis 3. Separation was made between God and man. They died spiritually. That is, dying, you will die. That is, dying, they will also ultimately die as physical death. So here, it's all because of sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death is because of sin. And you know, the Lord Jesus, when he came here, just think about him. Everywhere he went, he was surrounded by death. He saw people dying. He saw the effects of sin. He walked wherever he was. He dealt with sickness. It says he was moved with compassion upon people. As a matter of fact, we read a number of times that he dealt with dead people. There are, as far as I know, there are three occasions when he raised someone from the dead. When in Mark chapter 5, we find there the ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, and he had a daughter of 12 years old, and she died. She just died. And the Lord Jesus goes there, and he raises her from the dead. So this is somebody that just died. Then in Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus with his disciples comes, he is walking on the road, and he meets a crowd of people, and this was a funeral procession coming to him. A widow who had her only son, and he died. They were on the way to bury him. And he stops the funeral procession, and he says to the mother, to the widow woman, "Woman, weep not." And he touched the casket, and the man rises from the dead, and he hands him to his mother. The compassion of Christ in the midst of him walking this earth where he was surrounded by death. And then the third time, he is at the grave of Lazarus. And Lazarus had been dead already for 4 days, and he was in the grave. And the Lord Jesus, he stands there, and he sees Mary and Martha, his sisters, weeping. And it says this short verse in the Bible: Jesus wept. He was moved with compassion. We see the heart of the Lord Jesus in the midst of the scene of death here on earth. And what he does, he says, "Lazarus, come forth, come out." If he had not said Lazarus, all would have come out, because he is the resurrection and the life, as he also says in that chapter. And Lazarus was raised from the dead 4 days after he died. And so then we come to the Lord Jesus. As our brother read this morning, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus, he was that corn of wheat. If he hadn't died, there would be no life for us this morning. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he went that pathway, and he died there for you and for me. He came to the scene of death, and he dealt with it by dying and rising again. You know, I was reading this week a little bit about Dwight Eisenhower, the commander of the Allied forces in World War II, towards the end of World War II. And he was the the man, the architect of the D-Day landings on June the 6th, 1944. Now, he didn't go into the battle himself. As a matter of fact, he had never seen combat. But he directed that landing, those D-Day landings, Decision Day, that's what it stands for, D-Day. Now, he wrote two letters. One letter was to address the nation if they would win. And the other letter he had in his pocket would be addressing the nation, taking full responsibility if they would lose. Listen, when Jesus went to the cross, there was no doubt about that he was going to gain the victory. He went there. He didn't send other people. He went there himself. He finished the work which God had given him to do. He went there in the battle of dealing with our sins. And he gave himself for us. And he died there according to the scriptures. Now, there's one important difference to note, because I want to talk about the last enemy, death. And there's an important thing to understand about resurrection. Just go with me to John 11. And we see there what the Old Testament believers believe there about the resurrection. In John 11, which is the story of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus says to Martha in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24 says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So this is what the Jews believed. This is what the Old Testament said as well, that there would be a resurrection on the last day. And so they believed that. Now go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And we'll read verse 9. Now as they, that is the Lord Jesus and his disciples, came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen, till the Son of Man had risen from among the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. So here, these disciples, they're also Jews. So the Jews were familiar with the resurrection of the dead on the last day. That's all they knew. That's what they knew. But the Lord Jesus is saying in these verses there that he is going to rise from among the dead people. And they're wondering, what does that mean? I mean, we believe in the resurrection of all the dead, that they're all going to rise. But he is talking about a resurrection from among all the dead, so that all the other dead remain in the grave. So whenever you need to read your Bible carefully. So the Bible, when the Bible talks about the resurrection of believers, it is the resurrection from among the dead. And when is this going to happen? This is going to happen at the last trumpet. And we believe here that is the rapture of the church. When the dead shall rise from among all the other dead, that is the Christians who have died, they shall be raised from the dead, and they shall be with him. And so, the resurrection from among the dead. And so, that is something that was unknown by the Old Testament saints. Now, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus has answered the question of Genesis 2 verse 17, dying you shall die. It has answered both kinds of death, spiritual death and physical death. Now, when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that person identifies himself with the Lord Jesus. That person then receives spiritual life in Christ on the day you get saved. We read that, for example. It's actually interesting if you compare. Maybe you can put up that picture now. Two federal heads. That's what you find here. I'm not sure. Is it visible? Can you see it? Otherwise, just, I don't know. Otherwise, you just zoom in a little bit and do the next part in two sections. Anyway. So, two federal heads. We have here the first Adam in this chapter. Adam, the first man. And we have the last Adam, which is Christ, the second man. Now, and so we find all descendants of Adam die physically. You and I, we're all going to die. You know how many people die every second? I looked it up yesterday on the worldometer. I actually knew this already, but just want to make sure I don't get it wrong. Two people every second die. If you think it's the last enemy, the greatest enemy, you bet it is. The greatest enemy. Death is the biggest enemy. And one of these days, you and I, unless the Lord comes, we're going to meet that enemy. But the question is, you want to be ready. And so we know that all people will die, one out of one. Now, the unbelievers, they will experience the resurrection of condemnation. You read that in John 5:29. There's two resurrections. The resurrection of damnation, of condemnation, and the resurrection of life. And all those unbelievers will stand before God and be judged on the last day at the great white throne. You read that in Revelation 20. Now, if you want to get away from that and not die in your sins and be judged and sent to the lake of fire, you need to be saved. And so, in order for that to happen, what you need, you first of all need spiritual life. You know, the whole question of the gospel is not doing good versus being bad. There's a lot of religions think that. If my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I might make it. You know what the problem is? It's not just what we have done, it's who we are. Because we are children of Adam. That's why we are separated from God, because of our sins. Now, when a little child dies, it doesn't mean they go to hell. But they don't go to heaven just because God is love. They go to heaven because Christ died for that child, and that child has not reached the age of accountability. Just want to make that clear. But no one goes to heaven on the basis of being good. Nobody. Nobody can be saved on the basis of that. Only through faith in Christ. And so our problem is not, first of all, what we have done, but who we are. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, he didn't first say, what did you do? He said, where are you? Because the minute he sinned, the separation was made between God and man. And so there is separation because of sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have made separation between you and me. And so then we find that all those who believe in Christ, they will also be raised again physically. Now it's interesting. When I listen well, I try to listen well to how people think and what they say. But we in our evangelical culture, we emphasize the immortality of the soul. So this is basically what most Christians think. Now, if they think it's true, they would know better. But the Bible emphasizes the resurrection from the dead. So most Christians, this is how they hope. And I'm not saying it's not true, but it's only temporary. I believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus died and he rose again. And he lives forever, and therefore, when I die, I go to heaven. Now, that's true. Don't get me wrong. I want to be very emphatic about this. But actually, what the Bible emphasizes is this, that the hope of the Christian is not when you die, you go to heaven. That is true. When the person dies, the body goes in the grave, and the soul goes to be with the Lord Jesus. As Paul said in Philippians 1, to be with Christ, which is far better. To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And as the Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. There's no question about it. But that's only temporary. Because the day is coming when Jesus will come back. And then he will raise all the Christians from the grave. While the unbelievers, they will, for that moment, stay in the graves. They will stay in the graves. He will take He will raise the dead, the Christian dead, from the grave. And then the living saints who are still alive at that time will be changed. And that's what we read in verse 52. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is that talking about? That's talking about our bodies. If you're saved here, if you're here, you're a Christian, you have spiritual life. That's actually what it said in verse 48. It says, as was the man of dust, that's Adam, so also are those who are made of dust. We are dust, right? We're made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, that's the Lord Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. We have spiritual life right now. If you're a Christian, you have divine life. But this, notice verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that is of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's Christ. That's future. And that talks about the body. So verse 48, that's what we have now. We have spiritual life inwardly. Spiritual life. We belong to heaven. But verse 49, bodily we shall be heavenly when the Lord Jesus returns. I want to ask you a question. Do you have divine life? Do you have spiritual life? Are you saved? Do you belong just to the line of Adam? Or do you actually belong to Christ? Now, how can that happen? What do you say? Well, maybe I don't know what to do. All you have to do is surrender to Jesus Christ. Surrender. You know, I did it when I was 12. I just heard the gospel for a few months. I saw a tremendous change in my parents. And I realized my dad was learning a lot about the Lord's coming. And he was talking about it and excited about it. And I realized when Jesus comes back, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And one day I was riding on my bicycle. And I said, here I am, Lord Jesus. And I just surrendered. I didn't know a whole lot. Didn't understand everything. It's a matter of the heart. Surrender. You can try to figure it all out. But there's an element in the gospel that is hard to grasp. But you have to trust. Now, there are answers. Don't get me wrong. It's not blind faith. The Bible is very clear. But you have to trust. Trust the Lord Jesus. You know? Now, how do we know that we are going to rise from the dead? Now, look at the Romans 8, verse 11. And I gave you that verse to put up there. Romans 8, verse 11. Now, it's a very good verse. But if, he's talking here about believers. If the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of Him, that is God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, the Holy Spirit in a believer, in a Christian, is the guarantee that you will rise from the dead when the Lord Jesus comes. If there's anybody here and you are saved, but you struggle with assurance, and you have doubts about yourselves. And now it's always good to ask yourself some questions. But if you have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you struggle with doubts, ask yourself, do I have the Holy Spirit? Now, actually, that same chapter, Romans 8, says, any man that does not have the Spirit, he doesn't belong to Christ. He's not of His. Do you have the Spirit of God? You receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. So the question is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Now let's look at some of the details of verse 50 and further. It says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. If you go to most funerals today, and you listen in on what's being said, you would think the whole world goes to heaven. It's like that story I heard one time. I might have said that before. About this, there were these two guys in the town. And they were really bad fellows. Really kind of criminal. And one of them died. And his brother, so there were two brothers. And this one guy, he was trying to find a preacher that would do his funeral with one condition. You have to tell that my brother was a saint. So nobody wanted to do that because everybody knew they were not saints. And there was only one man that was willing to do it. So they had the funeral. And he's saying, you know, this guy that just died, he was an awful guy. He stole and he cheated everybody. And, you know, he was a really bad fellow. Really guy. Just a terrible guy. You know, it's a terrible thing to have to put him in the grave. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. See, people compare each other to other people. Well, compared to him, I'm not that bad. But the one to compare to is God's holiness. And so the question is that what it says here is flesh and blood, that is the way we are as human beings, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not just will not, cannot, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. If you stay in your sins the way you are, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You will not be in God's heaven. Now then, Paul, here in verse 51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, when you see that word, mystery, that means a hidden truth, or a truth that was hidden in the Old Testament, that was unknown. Or I shouldn't say hidden in the Old Testament. It was unknown in the Old Testament. And so what is the mystery here that has been revealed? We, that is believers, we shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Because when the Lord Jesus comes back, there will be a generation at that time, and that could be any time, that will be alive, that will be going with him. And so he is saying we shall all be changed. Our bodies, and then he describes that in the following verses, in a moment. That's actually the word atom, in a moment. That's amazing. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, what is the last trumpet? The last trumpet, I believe, is... See, this whole chapter is describing the... Like, it's like a battle. It uses battle language. The last trumpet in a battle, you know what that trumpet is? The war is over. You see an example of that in 1 Samuel. We're going to see that. When the man of Saul, they fight with, or maybe 2 Samuel, when the man of Saul fight with the man of David, and they call off the battle, and they blow the trumpet, and the war is over. You know when the war is over for us? The spiritual warfare is over for us when the Lord Jesus comes back. And then for us, death will be swallowed up in victory. That will happen at that time for us. But, as we read in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So the Lord Jesus, at the end of the kingdom, when he gives over everything to his Father, everything goes to his Father, and God shall be all in all. The Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, will put all, everything will be put under his feet. And then when everything is put under his feet, he will hand it all to God, his Father. And then God, that is the triune God, will be all in all. God will be all in all. That's when death will be completely vanquished and erased from the whole creation. And everything will be come back to him. And so, but for us Christians, death, corruptible, must put on incorruption, verse 53. And this mortal must put on immortality. You know, we all have decaying bodies. You know, it's actually, maybe that's not so much among young people, but when you listen to a lot of older people, you know what the biggest conversation is among older people? Health issues. It's kind of depressing in some ways. But there's an element there of, as it says in verse, time is she know? Where did I see now? Oh yeah, verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. I thought about that a lot when my father was sick. My dad was always a very energetic man. And when he got sick, you know, he loses all his strength. And he would say to me quite often, he said, I feel like a prisoner in my body. There's an element there of dishonor. When you were vital and then you become older. There's an element there of dishonor. And it's hard. But you know what, Christians? Take courage. The best is yet to come. Now, that's not just when you die and go to be with the Lord Jesus. That's true. But the best in this chapter that is to come, you know what it is? The return of Christ. You know, it's interesting. If you look in church history, this is another story, but the coming of the Lord Jesus, the expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus, much of the church lost sight of that throughout the Middle Ages. The hope for the Christian became, when I die, I go to be in heaven. And they never thought about the coming of the Lord Jesus. But that's the hope of the Christian. You know, I've heard Christians even here say, yeah, no, my mom and dad or whoever died and now they have a new body in heaven. No, they don't. They don't have a new body in heaven. Their body is in the grave. Their soul is with the Lord Jesus. They are waiting, just like we are waiting, for the redemption of our body. And when is that going to happen? That is going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes back for us at the rapture. And he takes us to be with him. We shall be changed. Now, when you're young, you don't think about that too much. I was there. I'm still not too old. But but when you get sick and older, you start to think about that more. And so, take courage in this. The believers who have died in Christ, their souls are with the Lord Jesus. They're waiting, just like we are waiting, for that moment when the Lord Jesus shall come. And then death for us will be swallowed up in victory. And corruption will be replaced with incorruption. Mortality with immortality. And you know, what does it say in verse 57? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, what is that rapture truth? How is that supposed to affect us? Now, it's interesting if you compare different passages in the New Testament that talk about the coming of the Lord. Here, it should motivate us to be to abound in the work of the Lord. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Or you say, well, you know, I just give it my leftover time and I'm not really interested. What does it say? Therefore, my beloved brethren, why is it therefore? Because of this truth, of this tremendous hope we have, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. Now, I want to ask you here a question. If you're not saved, you know, we read in Revelation that you will experience the second death. What an awful thing. You know, the Lord, you will stand before God if you're not saved, and you will be judged for your sins. It's not a matter there of whether you go to heaven or hell. You're done. It's done. This needs to be decided on this side of the grave, in this life. Today is the day of salvation. You need to be saved today. And the dead who have died in unbelief, they will stand before God. We read that three times about the second death in Revelation, those last few chapters. The second death. What is it going to be? Is it going to be for you that death will be vanquished? That's the way it's going to be for us believers. Death will be vanquished. The last enemy will be destroyed. If there's any enemies left, that cannot be. The last enemy is death, the greatest enemy. The Lord Jesus took it on. He finished the work on the cross. D-Day happened on the cross. Can I put it this way? D-Day happened on the cross. Decision Day. V-Day, Victory Day is coming. We live between D-Day and V-Day. That day is coming. But is it going to be that death will be vanquished for you, or will death vanquish you. See the one. See the you or death. And death, it's not just physical death. It's not annihilation. Death and Hades, that is the place of the grave and the place of the soul for the unbelievers. We're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we have a definition there of what the second death is. It's not just that you have done some bad things. We're all sinners. Have you ever acknowledged that before God? I am a sinner. I need Jesus because he died for me. If you do that, you can pass from the line of Adam that ends in the second death, and you will be put under the federal head, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Why don't you do that today? If you have questions, you can talk to me. You can talk to somebody you are familiar with. And we can save you. But we can help you, show you the Savior. If you want to do that today, you can trust the Lord Jesus today and accept him because God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Why don't you accept him today? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him.